Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are not intended to provide healthcare advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Views expressed here do not necessarily reflect those of the Angel Radio Network or its staff. Enlightening the world, one radio show at a time. You're listening to the Angel Radio Network. And now, here's your host.
And hello, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to April and the Angels radio show here. I'm your host, April Reynolds, here on the Angel Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining me for this important hour. We are here on the Angel Radio Network. We are humanitarians. Our role, our job that we feel so blessed to have is to shine a light in an area that really needs more light and information based to it. And today, I can't think of a more worthy cause or information that we really need to share. So I want to tell you about my guest. His name is Robert Koontz. He is the CEO and founder of the Children's Charity Network with 25 years technology and marketing experience. Today he works full-time in a nonprofit that focuses on bullying and teen suicides. And Robert, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Great. Great to have you here. It's a very important topic. I'd really like to find out why you chose to get involved in Children's Charity and then tell us more about bullying and what you guys are doing.
Okay, well, we just had the Blog Talk Radio come on in the background, so let me just kind of walk away from that real quick.
Let me
cover that question real quick. You know, I've been working in the media and marketing and digital media industry as of lately, and we've been doing a lot of fun things with a lot of big companies and exciting accounts over the years. But I got to say that, you know, all of that stuff, all of the experience I've had, it's all been about the mighty dollar. So even though we've created, you know, some wonderful relationships over the year, and we've had some fun along the way, but the whole thing is when I look back and I think, well, you know, what exactly have I done? And where have I contributed where I can look back and say, wow, that really made a difference. So it's kind of been a dream of mine for quite some time now to get into doing a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So this last year, we filed our 501c3, and the idea was we would contribute our experience, the things that we've done for these companies over the years, we're going to bring to the nonprofits, to the worthy causes. And it just so happens that I just took on my last client. I actually finished up my last account for the for-profit side, and now today I'm full-time in the nonprofits, and we're excited to be able to bring our experience and resources to the nonprofit sector.
Wow, that is exciting. Congratulations.
And thank you.
So then why is it called Children's Charity Organization? How did you choose that name?
Well, the Children's Charity Network, where I come from, I've been a single father since my son was in diapers. He's 15 years old now, and, you know, I just when I look at all the things, there's a lot of stuff that we could address in the world. There's a lot of wrong that needs attention, but the bottom line is I can't think of a better place to start than with our children. You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, I heard this saying recently, and I shared it on Facebook. You know, it's not that we inherit the world from our ancestors. We're really borrowing the planet from our children. And if we can't make it a better place today, I mean, you know, it's just like my generation and my parents have passed on to me the problems that they created. I don't want to do the same thing for our kids.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome because, you know, we really are, as parents, that is our role, to leave the world a better place for our children so that they can inherit and live a much better life than even we have, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me about the bullying and what the Children's Charity Network is doing with that.
Well, we, you know, when we first started this out last year, our objective as I was working part-time in the charity was to bring our abilities, our skills, our resources in media production, marketing, and mass media exposure to nonprofits and worthy causes and that kind of thing. And, you know, one thing that's near and dear to me, especially, when I was growing up, I'm a short guy. I, I'm more of the creative, artistic kind of guy. I'm the nerdy guy, the geek. And I got that going through high school, and now my son's at 15 years old. He's been dealing with the same kind of thing. He's walking in my footsteps, and I'm proud to say that he is the creative, artistic, and he's the videographer, the photographer, and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, you know, he's not the football jock. He's not the wrestling guy. He's not, you know, he doesn't have the cliques that he fits into other than, you know, the kind of the antisocial kid, the guy over in the corner that really is not as forward as most kids are today. So he gets the same thing I got, and that's near and dear to me, because when I hear about the things that he comes home from school and talks about and the way that he was treated and the things that people do, and I get so upset about these kids that are doing these things, and then you find out in the news that this is the reason, a big cause for the teen suicides today. It really is a major issue, and like I said, it's near and dear to my heart because it really does hit home very strong.
Yeah, I can hear that passion in you. And sure, you know, when our kids get picked on, it does kind of bring up the things that happen to us maybe as kids too. So we want to protect our kids, but at the same time, we want to empower them and make them an advocate for their own empowerment, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and I'm just excited because we're approaching this campaign with a lot of vigor, a lot of excitement, a lot of passion. But at the same time, it's something that I'm able to work with my son directly on. We just did a video production with my son, who's actually starring in the video as the kid being picked on. So, you can see how all this correlates.
Wow, I was wondering if that was your son. Wow.
Yes, that's Jayden.
He's really good. He did a great job. And it's so real. You can just see that this is all really happening. And then, gosh, it must have been awful for you to enact that with him, though.
Well, you know, he's very resilient. And I'm just very happy that his attitude towards it, how he like water off a duck's back. He's just really good about it, and you know, unlike a lot of kids, he shares this stuff with me. I know for a fact that, you know, just through my research, that less than 10% of parents today even know that their kids are being bullied. So I feel lucky that he's able to share that stuff with me, and we can address it directly.
Well, and that just shows what a plugged-in father you are, you know, that he's willing to share with you and that he feels safe enough with you to be able to talk about it.
Absolutely, and I feel very blessed for that. But at the same time, I believe there's a reason for it. We've got, things happen in our lives to steer us down certain paths, and this is certainly one of them, and it's something that we feel very, as you can tell, passionate about because we do live this on a daily basis, and we do want to make a difference. It's not just something to make us look good or go out there and say, hey, we're a charity with our hand out. We're really, truly trying to make a difference because it affects our lives, it affects everybody's lives, and if we can bring not just awareness but solutions to the table, that's what really matters.
Oh, absolutely. So this is a good time to tell everybody that website and how they can get involved.
Oh, absolutely. It's childrenscharitynetwork.org. Again, childrenscharitynetwork.org. And we actually have that new video production up on that front page as well.
Great, and it's a powerful, powerful video. It's very shocking. It did kind of take my breath away a couple of times. So it is really powerful. You said something about you were going for the shock value. Why was that?
Well, I mean, today, especially with the internet and the things that actually get shared and go viral, so to speak, you can put a public announcement out there. You can do a documentary. Mm-hmm. But if it's just information, people don't get involved. The only way they get involved with things and actually move into action is when they've been emotionally moved. So we wanted to add that shock value. Now, I've got to say, yes, it's a bit of an edgy video, but at the same time, I think it was done very tastefully.
I agree.
You know, there's not gore and blood and all that stuff. It was done very well. I think Jayden did a wonderful job.
Oh, he did. He really, really did. I hope you'll tell him I said so. I was very impressed with what he did. And you as well. So did you write that, or did somebody help you with that?
Well, I actually came up with the idea and sat down with my son. He's he's been working in videography for quite some time. I mean, in elementary school, he was doing the morning show and teaching the teachers how to use video editing software.
Oh, wow.
So he's got a lot of years of experience behind him, and he's literally worked internship with some of our clients. So he knows this stuff inside and out as well as we do here. So he's part of the team big time.
Wow, that's fantastic. That must make him feel really good, and you as well, to like see him thrive in this kind of a situation.
Oh, absolutely. And, he's got some wonderful talent, and I'm just excited to see he's, going in a direction that's going to make a difference. He's doing things that, as a lot of kids today, they are wrapped up in themselves and things that aren't so positive. I just feel very blessed and lucky that I do have my son working on projects like this, because it's building character and values and a lot of things that a lot of kids are missing today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a good time for maybe me to share that I lost a son to suicide 14 years ago, and that he's my middle son. His name is Daniel. And, of course, it's a horrible situation, and my youngest son was bullied quite a bit, and I ended up homeschooling him for about 2 years in his middle school years. So I'm very well acquainted with this, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about this, and I want to support you in this, because I also have the passion, I feel very strongly about this. This is something we've got to stop. We must find a way to find a solution for this, the bullying and for the teen suicide. I can see the connection, of course, between bullying and teen suicide. And this is a good time because, anybody can be listening to this recording in the future, and I want to remind everyone that if they are feeling suicidal, to please call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-5255. And to remind you that you need to seek the advice of a mental health professional, and we are just passionate about this project, but we are not professionals, and so we just want to encourage you to get all the help that you can. So Robert, tell me where it is that you see this going. Like, let's assume safely that this video goes viral. How is it that people can get involved with you?
Well, we do lead people right to our website, and what we're doing is we're building a team. One thing I've got to stress, that we can't do it by ourselves. There's power in numbers. And we want to build a team of people who are active, who actually participate with us with activities that do make a difference. And that's the starting point. Because if we just sit there and we bring the message to the world, yes, awareness is important, but awareness without solutions does not do anything. It actually makes it worse. So what we are doing, our objective is we're a solution-based charity. Our efforts are based on solutions, problem, not just saying, okay, here's a problem and here's our awareness campaign and that's where it ends. Well, that's where it begins. Our efforts are to build a team, pull together as a group of people, like-minded individuals who really care about making a difference. And together, through our actions, our collective actions, we can make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of making a difference, I want to bring Jeremiah onto the call about this time. I hope that he can hear me and he can unmute his phone. I think, wouldn't you agree, he's one of the most motivational people you've ever met, right?
Absolutely. Very energetic. Definitely lucky to have him on the call today.
I would love to talk with him. So, Jeremiah, are you there?
Hey, I think I'm here.
Welcome. So, Jeremiah, after CPE, and tell us about the CPE again.
Well, the CPE actually is an acronym that I use to express any project that I'm working on. And so it actually changes. That's the unique thing about it. And it right now would stand for Creating Powerful Exuberance, because we're doing a radio program.
I had a feeling that it might stand for something really good today. Yeah. Well, you are affecting a lot of change, and you connected me with Robert, and I'm just so grateful that I was able to connect this way. I mean, it's great how the divine timing sort of lines up. And I had no idea that the video was releasing today, Robert, and yet here it is, you and I on the phone and talking on the radio. How cool is that?
Awesome.
Yeah. So, Jeremiah, tell me about Robert, and what do you see happening with this video? When you watched it, what was your impression?
Well, actually, I, of course, you know, because Robin and I are working together, I had some insight in terms of what he was going to do. And I, you know, I'm a visual person myself. I, you know, have a background in fine arts, paint, draw, do illustrative kinds of things, graphic-related things. And so when he explained the concept to me, I automatically, you know, began to see the picture in my mind. But, of course, it's nothing like seeing the original work. And so when I saw it, I was like, man, Robert really has shown out, you know what I mean, on this particular video. He did a fantastic job. It's just so powerful how much information you can pull into, you know, a minute and 35 seconds or whatever it was. And it's just, you know, so moving because, I mean, it tells a story. It leads us, you know, through, you know, the process of what's going on sometimes in kids' lives when they get to that edge where they, you know, have just like lost control of themselves because they've been under so much emotional pressure dealing with people pushing them and taking advantage of them and everything. And so when I saw the video today, I was just like moved. I was like, this video, this is it. This is what we definitely need to take and begin to share with the world that, hey, this is the beginning, you know, of how things happen. And at this point, this is where we need to get started. This is where we need to join in and become a part of the team and take action on the mission and move towards the dream of shifting this. Because up to now, as I've told Robert before, all I've seen people do is come up with programs, you know, to sort of do their, you know, horse and pony show about, hey, this is our, you know, how you deal with bullying. But it doesn't change anything. It's kind of like when I was in corporate America and we'd have, you know, a company come in and do a training for us. I could bet that after 2 weeks, if no one was talking about it, if the company did not have any, you know, cards or, you know, the program was not so significant to, you know, the upper management that they were involved with sharing the theme of the concept, that it's only a matter of months that thing would just be totally gone. And that's the way, I mean, nowadays it's even faster than that. That was back in the late 90s. Nowadays it goes faster than that. I mean, if you can't hook people's, you know, consciousness, as Robert said, if you do something that's like, hey, guys, we're trying to stop the bullying campaign, please come and, you know, help us out, you know, you're not going to get people, because the people that you need to get, you have to, you know, totally disrupt, intercept their pattern and really get right straight, you know, into their consciousness on where this particular problem is. And I've been fortunate that I'm, you know, I've had the relationship with people who have written, one of the leading authors who's, you know, written a book about the subject of disrupting, came out last August. And he talks about, hey, we're in a world now where, you know, people's attention spans, everybody's got ADD. Everybody's got ADHD. You know what I mean? Seriously. You know, and so because of that, you're not going to keep people's attention span unless you grab their attention and you pull them into what you're doing. So as you can tell, I could go. I'm just, you know, this is just a subject.
Passionate. Yeah. Well, now, Robert, how does that make you feel?
Oh, it feels good to see that, you know, especially somebody like Jeremiah gets it right off the bat. He sees what we're trying to do. It's not just about putting a video out there that's graphic or, you know, that is hastily done. This was really well planned out, and I like the way it came together. It's just short, to the point. It grabs people's attention, and that's the whole thing. If we could grab people's attention emotionally, get them involved, in a very short period of time. We don't have to tell a long story to do that. We don't have to do a long documentary to make that happen. People will not share something. They will not sit through something. Like Jeremiah said, that people are ADD, ADHD. It's just the nature of the way society today. So I'm excited with the fact that we can do these because of social media, because of YouTube, because of the Internet today and the way things are going. There's a negative side and there's a positive side. The positive side is we can leverage that for quick, simple, powerful, and very impactful messaging that gets shared, that will create a movement. And the exciting thing about this is literally, as we do this, we can create a household name and a movement across the world almost overnight with social media, and that's our objective here.
Yeah, and you know a lot about social media, so you know what you're doing. This is a great project for that. All right, so we know how people can get involved. They go to childrenscharitynetwork.org, but what's next for the Children's Charity Network with the anti-bullying campaign? What's next?
Well, one thing we are going to do, and it's like I said, with the media production, that's something that is the awareness end. And mm-hmm. just a note on that real quick, we're not just stopping with one video. We'll be releasing one or two videos every single month that are based in shock media. And they'll all be done tastefully. We're not going to put stuff out there that, yes, it'll be edgy. It'll be there to get the point across, but it's there to motivate people into action. And there's the key word right there. Action is the important part. If all we did was messaging, if all we did was awareness, well, that's not going to do action. Action is where what we're looking for, the end result. If we can get people to get motivated to take action and direct that action into positive results and solutions, then we've done our job. That's what we're here for. So what's next for Children's Charity Network? What do we do? What kind of action, what kind of solutions are we working on? Okay.
Exactly.
So finally getting to your question. I'm sorry I'm drawing this out, but I have to make a point there.
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay, the solutions that we are really looking at right now, number one, we've got a couple of things that the first thing is the Cyberbully app, and that's something that I really think is going to be an extremely effective tool. There are some Cyberbully apps out there. One of them's, I believe it's Stop It, which is a really good app, and they're getting it into the schools. And I did talk with one of the people involved over there. The only thing that I don't like about these kind of apps is, number one, that you have to pay for them. And even though they're not very expensive, they're only a few bucks, but still, that's going to keep it from penetrating the market. If you want mass acceptance, it's got to be free. And number two, a lot of these apps, they're what I call panic buttons. And we already know, based on the industry statistics, that less than 10% of the parents know that the kids are being bullied in the first place. Why would they use a panic button if they're not going to tell their parents in the first place?
Right.
That's another thing. And here's an issue that we have is distribution. You know, if you have to go and download it, what kid is going to go purposefully go out there and download it? How many parents are actually going to do it? Especially if you understand that it takes literally millions and tens of millions of dollars in media advertising to penetrate a market properly. Well, let's look at these issues of what's happening right now with this possible solution or this potential solution. Number one, it's expensive. Number two, it's hard to get into the marketplace if you're forcing people to pay for it or download it. Number three, it's a panic button. It's not a total solution. So we looked at all of these issues with the Cyberbully app when we were designing this, which it is under development as we speak, but we looked at all these issues of how could we address these main key issues that are stopping this from becoming a real solution that addresses the masses. Mm-hmm. And when we did, number one, we decided, okay, we need to create an app that's free so people don't have – that's taken out a huge barrier right there. Number two, we need to create a situation where it's easy to access and you don't have to go find it. You don't have to convince people to put it onto their devices. So those are the two main issues. Number three is the awareness, understanding that it's even there or even knowing where it is or that it's available. So there's a few main issues we had to address. And the first one, we are making it free. The second one of actually having to convince people to put it on their device, well, here's some good news. We're also associated with the Ex-Felons Association, which we're a 501c3, a nonprofit. They're a 501c4, which is an association. This gives them lobbying power on Capitol Hill, and they've granted us full ride on doing a campaign where we're going to push this into hopefully becoming a law that's what we're lobbying for. We're going to lobby for this application, a free application, to become pre-bundled on all devices that are connected to the Internet that adolescents under the age of 18 have to have on their phones, their tablets, their laptops. So this is something for me. I'm excited about the idea of taking, and actually lobbying for this to become a mandatory application that comes pre-bundled with their device.
I love that idea.
Okay, so let me just say, maybe we can, maybe we can't. We won't know until the final verdict's in on that. We won't know if they're going to pass a law. I can't see into the future. There's a good chance for this. But even if they don't pass it as law, the press from doing that is huge, just the press. We're going to get tons of exposure on that, and we're already going after the service providers, and we do have a major service provider right now that we're negotiating on making this come bundled, become a bundled application with their devices. So we are going after the service providers.
Nice.
So there's two things. There's two of the issues right there that really take away the roadblocks. Now, one of the biggest, the last one that I'm going to touch on here is really, really important because this goes back to the idea that children don't tell their parents, they don't tell authorities, they don't tell the teachers that they're being bullied. So we know the panic button style application is not very effective. Yeah, it may work for a small, small percentage, but for the masses, it's not going to work. So what we decided to do was create an application that's a lot like parental controls, how parental controls actually filter content. This application monitors the conversations, the social media conversations, and there's key phrases and key words that will trigger these red flags. And the red flags, when they're triggered, they'll actually send a message to the parents stating your child, and there's been activity on your child's device that is indicative of bullying. So they're alerted to the issue. So that in itself is really, really powerful for us because that overcomes that big, big mountain of the lack of communication that we have with our children and being able to really know what's going on in the social media marketing marketplace when it comes to cyberbullying.
I love that idea because as a parent, you know, you never know when to get involved or hang back or, you know, like, you know, we try to let our kids have some privacy, but because they're under 18 and they're our children, that's our responsibility. So I love this idea. It's sort of like it gives us as parents the job that we're supposed to have, which is to look out for our children and to interact with them to make sure that they do feel safe enough to talk to us about something really important like cyberbullying or maybe it's a sexual thing, you know, maybe it's sexual abuse, you know, that they're receiving as well. Would it be able to work on that as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to pull up these keywords and key phrases. And when this happens, it sends out an alert to the parents. Now, we're also discussing another feature to this that basically if because we're talking about teen suicides as well. So there's the next level where it is against the law. Where if you're telling somebody to kill themselves, and these are some serious remarks that these kids are taking I mean, I just heard a week ago one of our partners here at Children's Charity Network, Tyler, up in his hometown, a kid killed himself, committed suicide because the cyber bully told him if he didn't commit suicide that night that they were going to beat him up really bad the next day, and he literally committed suicide because of it. So talk about, I mean, that enrages me. That literally, I mean, I just, So understanding that this is something serious where kids are literally taking their lives because a bully told them to, that's crazy. That should not be possible, but it is. So with that being said, you know, another feature we're talking about here, if these kind of keywords and key phrases are flagged, not only will it alert the parents, but it will go through a call center where we literally filter these out to see if they're real threats. And if they are real viable threats, we will contact the local authorities to take action.
I like that. So a keyword will pop up, and whether it's suicide or sex or threats of some kind, you know, some kind of abuse, anything that's, you know, not in our child's best interest, we're going to be notified.
That's
like it's a win-win. And then the child doesn't have to come to us and feel like they're, you know, like a bit of a loser or something to talk to their parents, and or maybe the parents just aren't plugged in enough. The parents are notified, just like they are, like when they're failing school or something, like you get a notified, you get notified, you come in and talk to the principal about your kid. I like it.
That's good.
Very good.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, good job. I feel your passion. I love it. I think it's terrific. Keep doing this. You're definitely on the right path, and you're going to save so many lives and affect change in so many different lives. And I'm in awe. I'm actually feeling a little speechless. I was trying to take notes, but I'm like really moved. I'm so glad that I met you and that I can help facilitate this. So how can I help you? How can we continue to work together and spread the word and make this go viral and get you on the Today Show and Good Morning America? How can we do that?
Absolutely. We need to create an awareness movement. And, you know, awareness is not the solution, but awareness is the first step. And what I mean by that is we've got to show people that we're serious. So what's that mean? We just can't sit here and say, okay, we've got a wonderful cause, just like everybody else that has these anti-bully campaigns. There are a lot of anti-bully campaigns, and yes, some of them are making a difference, but there's not, as a whole, people are starting to realize that bullying and cyberbullying is an issue. But as a whole, we don't have solutions put in place, so we want to step up as a company, an organization, a team of individuals who rally together to put these mass solutions in place. These have to be put in place to make a difference. People as a whole, if we, like I said, in numbers, we can make a difference. So number one, we're going to go out there and it's all about exposure to start. Yes, it's going to take us putting together these edgy video viral marketing campaigns. That will help us build our list. I'm an old school marketer, and you used to hear that the saying, the money's in the list. Well, right now, it's the movement is in the list, and we've got to build that movement by building our list of supporters, followers, and people who are truly wanting to take action and support this type of campaign. So it's all about exposure right now. For the next several months, we're going to be doing just all sorts of media, marketing, aligning ourselves with some big influential bloggers, social media, offline, everything we can do. Anything we can do to get the message out to build our following and our team so we can push this through to Congress, so we can push this through and make these solutions a reality.
I agree. Fantastic. Let me ask Brent Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you're really good with social media too. So what would you suggest if we were asking for your opinion on how to get this video to go viral? And do you encourage everybody to share it? What would you do, Jeremiah?
Well, yeah, that would definitely be the first thing, and it's so important. And nowadays with Google only recognizing engagement, because what they realize is that, you know, with a lot of black hat SEO and all kinds of other tactics that were used in the past, people would sometimes convolute the process and get things done, you know, in a way that wasn't, you know, correct. And so they're demanding that, hey, you engage your audience. You bring people together. So we've got to do that. And that's why Robert and I have been so, you know, vocal on Facebook to draw the attention of people and to get people talking, because it's not, you know, most of the time, you know, people on Facebook just want to, you know, they might comment a little bit about something, or as Robert said, if you put out a fishy face or something that's funny, then everybody will comment and share, you know. But with something like this where we're saying, hey, we're a serious program here. This is a mission that we're on. We're trying to make change. We need that same kind of involvement, and so we need people to know that we're looking for engagement, and we're not buying engagement. We're saying that this is an engaging subject. Bullying is a subject that is engaging. If your family isn't affected by it, your friend's family has probably been affected by it, or someone else has been affected by it. I'm about to do a video myself where I'm going to talk about how I was personally, you know, bullied as it relates to just dealing, you know, with growing up as a kid and even sometimes in the corporate circles. And so I think everybody's probably got a story somewhere that they can share. And I think this would be a great way to get people engaged and say, hey, you know, share your story, you know, about how you were bullied. And I think that within itself will make people connect deeply with the experience and also share, and that's what will make them come out and get engaged. That's my idea.
I like that. You know, so share your story. Robert, what do you think about that?
Absolutely. And you know, if we can all, because if you saw some of the posts that we were having interaction on Facebook and you saw people coming out of the woodwork saying, yes, I wasn't bullied in high school. I was tortured, you know, and that people have a story to share. So, you know, once we get people activated and involved and they emotionally connect with their past or their experiences and they start sharing, this is the movement that we can create. And that movement is what's going to create the difference.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yes, I mean, it's all about relationship, you know, and building the relationship. And I say this all the time, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Absolutely.
So you engage them, get them to share their story. They feel activated. They feel involved. I saw that thread on Facebook a couple of days ago, and that's what drew me in. And I contacted you and said, you know, let's talk. You know, I'd love to support you in this. And Jeremiah playing a very big role in this as well. He's a little engager, isn't he?
Absolutely, a connector.
I
got to put some kudos out to Jeremiah. He's awesome, and if you know, he wasn't a part of this, we wouldn't be talking right now. So many thanks out to you, Jeremiah.
I love you, brother. You know that.
Back at you, brother. Back at you.
Yeah, Jeremiah, you're just a bunch of love, and you're sharing it with everybody, and I appreciate it. And thanks for that connection. We're just doing really well here. And I'm just so impressed by what's happening here, and I love how we've come together and we can affect some positive change here. But I'm wondering, you know, if there's somebody listening to this who is being bullied right now, and maybe they've got to go to school in the morning and they haven't talked to their parents. What would you recommend, Robert?
Well, that first off, you know, one of the things that my son goes through on a pretty consistent basis is verbal abuse, and you know, mm-hmm. there is some physical aspect, especially if it's getting physical, or it's emotionally hurting you to the point where you're thinking these bad thoughts. Don't do it. Take action by going and reporting these to the authorities, to your parents, to the teachers, because this is something that it's affecting you, it's affecting your family, it's obviously it's affecting other people as well. So we've got to understand that, you know, it's not right, and it's not something that we can condone, we can support, or even ignore. It's something that has to be stopped. And number one, if you are at that point where you're getting pushed around so bad, before you break, you need to report this to somebody. It doesn't make you a worse person or a low person or a loser. This is the person that's doing this to you is the loser. And understanding maybe they're affected by their family life or they were bullied too, but it has to stop. And there's help for them too. There's help for you and them. And we've got to understand it doesn't mean you have to stand up and, you know, punch them in the face. It just means that, you know, maybe through getting mutual help, everybody can benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you feel like this is a bit of a rhetorical question, but tell me your feelings about video games. That's what I'm really asking. Do you feel like that's playing a major role in this?
The video games are an outlet more than an influence. This is just this is one example of, you know, and people say it's like saying guns kill people. No, it's people that kill people. And mm-hmm. it's not the video games that are influencing the kids. Yeah, there are very violent video games out there. But these are the mm-hmm. kids that are going home and playing these video games and taking the aggression out on the video game, not having the video game influence the aggression. Here's the problem. And think about this for a second. On an occasion, you have one of these kids that are pushed so far that they take the gun to school and they shoot the aggressor, they shoot the kids. And that's an example of one of these kids that just they just went all out and they said, you know, lost their mind, took the gun to school, and literally they went crazy. But mm-hmm. here's the thing. It's the same emotions that the kid that puts the gun to their head. It's the same thing that's happening. It's just that 99 times out of 100, they put it to their head before they take it to school. So it's really the pressure outside that's happening that brings that aggression home. It's not starting from a video game. It's starting from what they're experiencing in real life. It's just the video game is one of those outlets that where they take their aggression, and that's why we did the video game in the video is we wanted to show that, you know, he's on this video game taking out his aggression because that's his outlet.
Yeah.
It's not what causes it. It's the as you see in his head, and he goes into his memory, and he's being punched, and he's being hit, and he's being all this stuff. That's the root cause.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And why is it so much more? Because when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have all this. So why is it so much worse now? Is it our children don't have good enough self-esteem now? I mean, did we drop the ball as parents? What happened?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure about that because I know I did get bullied. And I think it's just becoming more prevalent. I think through cyberbullying and the Internet, it's becoming even more and more of a serious issue. Because especially with cyberbullying, people can hide behind the Internet, and it's so much easier to do than doing it to somebody's face.
Yes, that's true. They don't have to walk up to them after school and say, hey, I'm going to punch your lights out. They can just, like, send a text message or a Facebook message and annihilate somebody emotionally with just the words that they say.
Absolutely. They're using those words over the Internet as weapons.
And I'd like to quickly just say that, as I shared with Robert, when we see elections of politicians and they are debating and we see them using words as a bully would, tactics, you know what I mean, that push the other opponent or abuse the other person, then we're seeing forms of bullying in other realms outside of the video game all around the place. And so that makes it where now you have other models that are communicating, you know, especially very powerful models of authority, communicating these tactics. And that makes the kid sometimes think that this is acceptable, or an adult think that this is acceptable behavior.
Wow, I had never thought of that before. Like during the presidential campaign, when we're watching debate after debate, and there's these subtle little jabs, and you know how they look down and shake their head when something is being said against them. So, and it's just sort of so condescending. I've always hated that, by the way. So, is it just a matter of so they're slick, the politicians, and some of that is bleeding into our society. Is that what's happened?
That, as well as just the, I mean, human interaction as a whole. If you look at the way that a lot of parents are interacting around their kids, I mean, it happens, you know, in politics. It happens in the workplace. It happens at home between two parents. And the kids are seeing all these different things that are happening. So we as adults are setting a lot of these examples of how we interact. And literally there's, you know, the adult bullying back and forth. And so when they take that aggression and they see that happening as adults doing it, well, it's okay, I can do it too, and I can filter my aggression this way at school, and I can pick on somebody and make, you know, because I'm not getting the attention at home. So I'm going to go pick on this kid, and it makes me feel like a bigger person. You know,
if you're driving your kid to school and you've got road rage and you're acting that out in front of your kid, then he goes into school and he's bullying people, should we really be surprised? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. This is just so many layers that keep on coming.
There are so many layers, and there's so much common sense to it all, which is the scary part.
Yes. That we could have been doing this so much better. Also, I think a lot of parents really like to be their child's best friend. When we're not supposed to be their friend, we're supposed to be their parent. Don't you agree?
And just let me kind of comment on that, because I've had to play both roles, mom and dad, for a lot of years here, and which has been, you know, a bit difficult. But I've had to balance the aspect of being a friend and a parent. And so on one hand, I'm you know, reprimanding my son. On the other hand, I'm hugging him and, you know, telling him good job and all that kind of stuff. So that's a very difficult balance. And even to this day, I still look at myself like I could have done better. I should have done better. I should have done it differently. And, you know, but, you know, and I think if a lot of people and a lot of parents look at the way that they've raised their kids or the way they're raising their kids, and hold themselves up to the higher standards. Because I'm not going to sit here and try to tell everybody how they should raise their kids, because everybody's different. But the bottom line is there's a common sense factor involved. And if we just look at the common sense of it all and understand that the way these kids are sponges and they're influenced by our actions, and then we're surprised by their actions, there's a problem there.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely need to connect the dots. Wow. Well, this has been really enlightening, and I'm so glad we were able to get together and talk about this today. And Jeremiah, I want to thank you for joining us as well. Do you have any parting thoughts?
I'll just make a last-minute comment on what you guys just talked about, and that is that I've mentored, you know, other people's kids, over 1,000, and I can tell you that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't an issue with me being their friend. That wasn't that isn't a problem. So I don't really have a problem with parents being children's friends, but definitely the children need to understand, you know, who's the person that's, you know, bringing home the groceries and who's the person that's really making all the final decisions. I'm not one of these kind of people that believe, like some people in our society, they believe that children should be involved in all the decision-making. No, they shouldn't, because they're not, you know, like I said, they're not paying the bills and they're not really dealing with the real final decision. I think the final decision is on a leader, no different than a CEO. He might involve, you know, the other members of his company to be involved in brainstorming and decision-making, but really the brunt of the weight falls on him. So when it comes down to making the final decision, that CEO has to take charge, because he's going to be the person ultimately that board members or other people in the culture in our society are going to expect to have the answer. And the same thing is true with being a parent. I don't think there's anything wrong with us being friends with our children or being friends with, you know, kids. I think it's important that we are. But I think it's also important that we communicate, you know, to a level where kids totally understand that, hey, they have a responsibility to respect us just like we have a responsibility to respect them, and the respect is going to be mutual.
Yes, I agree. Respect really is the basis of all of this, and self-love. So if we can remind our kids that they are loved, and they need to find ways to respect themselves and respect each of us, and that starts at home. We have to respect ourselves and show that as the example to our children. So I want to thank you both for joining me. Robert, good luck with everything, and keep me posted. I want to see that video go viral, so I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and it's been a pleasure. Enjoyed it here today, and I look forward to any future events that we can do together. I'm all for it.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that, too, and I'll talk to you about that soon. And I want to thank everybody for listening today. We did have a lot of technical difficulties, but we're here on this call, and we're going to put this MP3 out to everybody. So be sure to join me next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. My guest will be the Jeremiah Astrick CPE, the most positive person I have ever known. Should be a fantastic hour, Jeremiah. We're going to be on fire next week. So please remember, your angels are with you, and to take action if your life is and you're feeling bullied, please take some action. Watch this video at childrenscharitynetwork.org, and contact a mental health professional if you need to affect some positive changes into your life. And then be sure and go to childrenscharitynetwork.org and sign up today to be on their action committee and share that video. And also go to facebook.com/angelradionetwork and leave me a comment about bullying, and I'll put you in touch with Robert. So show it to all your friends, and let's make that go viral. So thanks, everyone, for listening today. For my guest, Robert Kuntz, for the Angel Radio Network, I'm April Reynolds. See you next week. Angel blessings.